Blog Talk Radio.
Joy and prosperity. It is a new day. It is a new day. Olodi, the scourge of the town. Olofa, the arrow shooter. Afi Alak Bongo Daju Ijaru, user of baton to cause more confusion. Listen and you shall hear me in the winds. No, it is my thunder that gives a warning in the dark. Do not dare deny me to false tongue, my daughters. Do not anger me with fences of blindness, for you must run wild and free of injustice to celebrate me, and it is you who must call forth the storm of change. You are now listening live and always in archive at your leisure and convenience to the Divine Practitioner, author, and advisor, Elagun Oloye Hudu Obeya Bokur, sharing with you in all things spiritual, mystical, metaphysical, cosmic, universal, evolutionary, revolutionary, healing, and holistic from a Pan-African hoodoo world spiritualist perspective, understanding that all is truly and indeed a blessing if you can just see beyond the veil, for it is all just an illusion and a test and one of the greatest divine mysteries of this life cycle. This is my constant prayer, my mantra, affirmation, reverberation, reiteration, and my ever-living reality. It is crucial to the very foundation of my understanding, my teaching, my walk, my works along this divine, all-blessed life path and journey. It is how I, the Divine Prince, make sense out of all that we are challenged with here in our daily existence on Mother, Father Earth, and it is my personal place of power and understanding. The place from where I begin, the place from where I realize and crystallize all my endeavors, understanding that I and I alone create and co-create my divine destiny, and I alone create and co-create my divine, all-blessed reality. And so it is, Ashe. Today is Thursday, January 10th, 2019. And I am emanating and vibrating with you and for you live, virtually, verbally, cosmically, quantum universally from this working temple of the House of the Divine Prince, Thai Potions, Hoodoo Central, Black Hawk Voodoo, in this legendary, historic, beautiful, and most enchanted city in America, New Orleans, Louisiana, the land of my ancestors and those who came before me along this spiritualist hoodoo Obeya life path and journey, passing down the great Obeya stick along with the knowledge of the healing, life-giving herbs, roots, plants, ritual spirits, and minerals. Please do continue to join me here at high noon, along with my co-host, Awo Ojolola Fa Sakin, here for the Power Lunch at high noon, U.S. Central Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio, Power Lunch Revolutionary Hoodoo, New Orleans Voodoo Secrets and Recipes at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-divine-prince. Our live listen-in and call-in number is area code 347-215-8967. 347-215-8967. When you are ready with your question, comment, or request, please do press the number 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll be more than happy to open your mic and bring you into this village, this square circle of gods and goddesses here on Blog Talk Radio, my website where I can be reached utilizing various means 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year is www.thedivineprince.com. And so I do accept your questions, comments, and requests by way of email at divineprince@houseofthedivineprince.com. And please do continue to support me and Denise Augustine and Historic Treme at www.oursacredstories.com. www.oursacredstories.com for your tour plus experience needs. All is truly and indeed a blessing. I had several things on my plate here that I wanted to share with you, and as things go, my browser crashed at the very last minute, and now I can't locate anything beyond the notes that I've already written for the show, and in the length of time that Baba and I have here, I'm sure that will be sufficient. We are talking today about psychics and myths, and I wanted to, as I often do, foundation for understanding what psychics, people who operate in spiritual systems, spiritual gifts, and sort of make a distinction, if you will, between what is truly spirit and operating out of spirit, and then that which is mathematical, scientific, something that can be learned, something that can be memorized. I'm sure Baba Ifa Sakin, and I'm going to open your mic in just a moment, Baba, would agree with me to the profound level of memory that you can find among Yoruba Babalawos and their ability to memorize many Odu and books and stories in order to present a full message in terms of presenting a divination in the Ifa system. Fa voodoo systems use similar 16 palm nut, 256 Odu divination systems as well. But there's also a large part of the spirit practice that is contained in our spirit gifts that I don't about, shared about. Some people might think that, you know, Ifa might be all math and not spirit. So I want to reintroduce to you a good friend of mine, an elder in the tradition, Baba Foster Cairn, to the show today as we talk about not just gigs and myths, but spiritual practice in terms of divination worldwide. And greetings, Baba Aboru Aboye.
I give thanks, of course, to all of the Mare and to all Orisha and to our ancestors. And thanks to you for hosting this show and having me on here. I really appreciate that. For those who don't know, I am located in Georgia, Augusta, Georgia, specifically. And from this area, I serve really basically the world because I've had clients in several nations of Africa, in Switzerland, and all across the United States. And speaking on terms of where our ancestors come from, in here in Augusta, I found out that my great-grandfather was born here, and it was like I had a calling to come to Augusta, so here I am in the land where my great-grandfather was born, paternal great-grandfather, I should say.
Give thanks. I said it.
For those who would like to reach me, I can be contacted via email at awo, it's A-W-O dot Ojelola, O-J-E-L-O-L-A, dot Ifashakin, I-F-A-S-A-K-I-N, at gmail.com. And I can also be reached at through Facebook, Ojolola Ajani Fashi, Ojolola Ajani Fashi King. I do welcome everybody who has any questions about Ifa or has need for divination. I welcome your questions, comments, and look forward to speaking with you. Now, on the matter of Ifa divination, there are different ways to do divination. The primary methods of Babalawo are through the use of Ikin, the sacred palm nuts, that's using 16 palm nuts, or Opele, which is a divining chain that contains 8 shell halves. And the Opele is used most commonly. There's also the method of 16 cowries, also known as Merin de Logron. And that method is primarily used by other Orisha priests, not Babalawos. Some Babalawos who are also priests of other Orisha will tend to use 16 cowries if they're more familiar with that. I myself, I'm only a priest of Ifa, Babalawo, and I use the Opele or the 16 kola, 16 not kola, 16 Ikin. Now, Ifa is a mathematical system in that it is binary. It is also octal and hexadecimal. Which, interestingly, are the same number systems that our computer systems use. So the digital technology really dates back to pretty much the beginning of time. Now, I said the Ifa is scientific, mathematical, but it is also spiritual, of course. It has to be, because we communicate with spirit through this mathematical system. There is no psychic aspect of performing Ifa divination. However, the Babalawo must be able to understand the messages of Ifa, must be able to understand the Odu that is revealed through divination. And in doing so, he relays a message to the client. I think that basically explains the process. There's a lot more detail that I can go into, but that would really go pretty far beyond far beyond the scope of what we're trying to do here in this short amount of time.
Well, yeah, I wanted to absolutely speak to the idea that common sense has it that possessing psychic ability is using a sixth sense, something beyond taste, smell, sight, physical sight, hearing, etc. And so there is this idea of being conscious, of being woke, if you will, of having your third eye open as it relates to not only forms of divination, but operating in spiritual sciences in general. And indeed, there are things that we can do as individuals to heighten our connection to spirit, our ability to be able to be sensitive to spirit. And sensitivity would be at the top of the list of things that an individual could themselves cultivate in terms of being able to connect directly with spirit. But then we also look at spiritual gifts manifesting in a variety of much more specific and specialized ways. Clairaudience, clairvoyance, for example, dream interpretation, divination by means of many world traditions, not just Fa, Ifa, voodoo, but tarot card reading, for instance, crystal reading, for instance, many ways in which we can tap spirit. And often you hear me talk about, particularly in Western-based cultures, this sort of need for rugged individualism. Me, myself, and I can read myself, and I can do all my own spiritual work. And, yeah, I can do my own spiritual work for you, too. And we don't often have the information I think is necessary in guiding us in many ways into these various forms of divination and spirit communication. To say the least, Ifa, I think if a individual has not at least a basic understanding of the odus and what is being pronounced or performed before them, then it's often no different than them sitting across the table from, let's say, a tarot card reader who might be placing cards, symbols, signs, archetypes on the table that are not only not necessarily traditional, but definitely not clear to them or informed enough for them to grasp fully what's being presented on the table. So there becomes this reliance on what the reader says, what the Babalao says, what the pastor says, what the imam might have to say. And so I wanted to, and I appreciate your opening. I absolutely agree that you laid a great foundation for Ifa divination and in a more authentic exploration into Ifa divination. But I also believe that you, in many ways, maybe without knowing, laid down a great foundation for any of these usages, manifestations, first manifestations of spiritual gifts, but then the application thereof. I was watching Good Morning America, I believe it was, this morning, and they had a 12-year-old girl who both her and her mother claimed that this girl had a want for being a yogi since she was 5 years old. And her mother set out on this journey of contacting yoga schools, I guess yoga practitioners, and looking for someone who would work with the child 5 years old and instruct them in the teaching. And her story was that many of them said no because of her age, and they were persistent till they found, I believe it was a school that was willing to work with the child, particularly a child so young, and instruct her in the ways, the language, the philosophy, the text that accompany the practice of yogi. I also wanted to also quickly mention using yoga as an example, how through appropriation, commercialization, in some cases to a great degree, ego, here in again in Western culture, we seek to strip away the complexities of a thing for a more immediate and instantaneous sense of gratification, an instant answer to a thing. And I noticed that one of the things I like about Baba Fassa Ken is you almost speak Odu naturally. Even when you're not doing divination, you have a tone and a cadence about you that's very familiar to how you speak, chant, or pronounce Ifa Odu's. And it reinforces my idea that you can't just call yourself to be a reader, to be a healer, to be a spiritualist, to be a worker of these gifts without fully immersing every aspect of your being into that practice, into that tradition. Because indeed it is a lot about what we believe, what we understand, and then the manifestation of that outwardly into the world. So we strip away in Western culture, in America, in UK, the complexities of a thing because that's too time-consuming or that's too expensive or that's too complicated in terms of traveling somewhere to sit for any amount of time and gain access to that. We can walk into a coffee shop today and buy a deck of tarot cards without a book, and heaven forbid a deck of tarot cards that is newly created, self-created. People are designing their own tarot cards now, and some of them are sort of maintaining an alignment with the original system of major and minor arcana, and then your houses, your four houses. But then some of them today are just completely brand new ideas. Tarot cards with crystals and minerals on them. I've seen tarot cards with a cowrie shell and a supposed Orisha divination on them. And within that deck, for sure, I did not find any alignment, Baba, with the idea of numbers, not just counting, but understanding what particularly when you're using shell, I understand it is completely different with palm nuts, but particularly when you're using a shell, and even so with a palm nut, once the Babalao has pronounced a particular Odu, the client often has absolutely no basis for even forming a connection to that. And would you not agree with me, Baba, that there is also a vibrational connection in ATR? In African-based systems where the pronunciation is absolutely critical to the full manifestation of things being done.
I definitely agree. The names of the Odu have specific meaning, and if you understand those meanings, you can understand the general idea of the Odu that has come out. The names of the Odu give you insight to the actual Odu. For instance, Oseerete, that is the 240th Odu. And it means really to step in to blessings. And stepping in can mean many things. There is one story in that Odu where a person steps the wrong way or is pushed the wrong way and steps into a ditch, falls in. Falling into that ditch ends up being a blessing. So you know you know offhand, if you know from the beginning that oserete means to step into blessings, then you like I said, you've got some insight. Now I want to backtrack a little bit into something you said, which was about the young child wanting to study yoga. The people complained that the child was too young. The truth is, youth is an advantage.
Mm-hmm.
You can never be too young to start learning a spiritual system. Matter of fact, if we look at the Yoruba culture, where people grow up in the culture and learn it, there are people initiated at Bob Lau's that are like, you know, less than 10 years old. And the idea is to, if it's in a person's destiny to be a Baba Lao, you need to get them started as early as possible.
Mm-hmm. Baba, I also believe that her story was a good metaphor also for you're never too old to get into a system. If you're willing to operate like a child and humble yourself to the process of the work. A part of that story I think I neglected to say was she became a yogi master by age 12. And so now at 12, she's teaching yoga. But as you said, right, she took the time to learn what prana is and the language and the tech and the philosophies that associate with that path. So if a 12-year-old or a 5-year-old is willing to do that work so as to be fully that person they wish to be at 12, then I think there's hope for anybody at any age who truly wants to step into these traditions and then embrace them from the root.
True. Now, look, looking at children coming into a spiritual system, the young mind is more open. The young mind can be shaped more easily. And it kind of, if you look at, I'm going to go into science fiction a little bit, in Star Wars, where Master Yoda tells Skywalker that he's too old to begin the training. And if we look at later episodes in the Star Wars stories, we can see the Jedi Master Yoda training young children. And most of his students are just young children. And the thing is, their minds are open, and it's easy for them to learn the new things that they need to learn. Whereas an adult, you know, you've already learned so many things, and your mind is set a certain way, and you have to be able to unlearn what you have learned so that you can be open to what you need to learn now. And that's I figure the most difficult part is being able to unlearn what you've learned. When I first came into Ifa, I had been Christian all my life. As a matter of fact, I was raised Catholic. And I just had this feeling in me that maybe I was wrong for putting Jesus aside. And at first, any time I would engage even in prayer in Ifa, I would always pray to God that that he'd forgive me if I was wrong for doing this, or that he would just guide me properly. Because I didn't want to, at first, just discard what I was taught all those years. And I think, as a matter of fact, not I think, I know that my journey in Ifa would have been much easier and much more accelerated if I had been able to just put aside what I had already learned and just really start fresh. It's a difficult thing, like I said, for adults to put that aside, even though consciously you may really be trying, but you have these things embedded in your mind, embedded in your beliefs, and then you have to discard it.
Perhaps. I can't quite say that my experience parallels that. The first thing that you said I wanted to respond to was about the capability of a child to learn in a fashion that's different than adults. And I would also like to say that as individuals, children don't all learn the same either. Now, as a young child diagnosed with a learning disability and then maturing into a more clear diagnosis of Asperger, I did not learn like other children. I tested well and well above my age bracket, but when it came to the regular, everyday, mundane activities, you know, of public school life and education, I just did not fit into that. And I found that as I entered my late teens and early 20s, and again, understanding that my experience might be greatly different than many of you listening, being a teenage runaway and on the street and sort of growing up into my maturity in that environment where my most pressing issue was to study something, to read something, to sit at the hand, at the knee, at the foot of someone as they taught me something. With each form of divination that I learned, I had to sit under somebody and gain access to that and gain knowledge of that. So by 22, 23, 25, I was well ahead in terms of doing sort of the homework as it relates to being an adult, now trying to learn new systems, new languages, new ways of counting, new ways of organizing what was already going on in my head as someone being born with a spiritual gift. And I want to give you an opportunity to respond to that, too. I wanted to hear you talk more about the manifestation of spiritual gifts as it is in not just Ifa, but I guess Yoruba culture. When we start looking at mediumship, channeling, prophecy, aura reading, for instance, which is a sort of Latin Eurocentric word, but we cannot deny that indigenous cultures saw things, had visions, also operated from a place of spiritual sight, and may not have called it what they call it in India, you know, which is a third eye. How we first, people ask me, you know, well, how do I start to learn Ifa? How do I start to learn Voodoo? I'm having these dreams, and I've been reading, you know, tarot cards for people. How do I now further my spirit practice at this stage and at the game? And we're going to assume any age. And I first take a breath, because often I'm going to have to find a humble way to get someone to internalize something that is often very jarring for them. And that is to go back to the root, start at the beginning, go back to your ancestors, go back to the beginnings of these gifts that people are often trying to operate from without any training, and break them down to their most basic level. The listed notable spiritual gifts and or abilities. So often that involves learning prayer, learning meditation, learning how to sit still, learning how to still your mind long enough to sit at the foot at someone like Baba Ifasakin and hear, not only hear, internalize, digest the ashe that rides on the words of those Odu and those prophecies and those proverbs and those psalms, whatever words we want to mask them with. They're universal to the authentic spiritual traditions that many of us who are operating in spirituality are drawing from. I think sometimes we want the tool, but not the practice and not the foundation. How do, Baba, Nigerian children develop an ability to internalize numbers and counting and memory in such a profound way that the American has to struggle to develop?
Well, the main thing really is starting early. Because, like I said before, the young mind is more open and able to be shaped more easily. And when you're raised in a certain culture and exposed to things at an early age, you tend to adapt to it more easily. Now, on the subject of psychic ability, for instance, maybe not psychic, but spiritual ability, women, girls, particularly, are generally more spiritually open. And that's why we have like the term the mothers, Iyami or Aje, which are commonly and mistakenly called witches. All right. These are those girls or women who have psychic and spiritual ability innately. It's not something they had to learn. It's just something that they had naturally from birth. And
now, Baba, there's also something in West Africa, in Voodoo, that is said also be present in men or boys.
Right.
And it's called also.
Right.
O-S-O.
It's present in men also. And mm-hmm. Actually, in Yoruba, it's spelled O-O-S-O. And it's more common with the females, but it also exists in males. As you said, in males, it's called also, and females called Iyami or Aje.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not something